All right, so it's Saturday, November 11th, or it's Saturday the 13th, if I can get my date straight. We're meeting here at Family Church of Lawrence with Pastor Ron Chanel. And Pastor Ron, we just want to get your permission one more time that you're okay with having this interview set into a publicly accessible archive.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Well, then let's go ahead and get started. And Ron, why don't you start out by telling us a little bit about your background, what your upbringing was like, and just kind of a more of a glimpse as to who you are.
Sure. I was born and raised in Florida. In a Christian home, and at an early age in my teens, I received the Lord as my Lord and Savior, and got involved very quickly into the music ministry. I'm a singer, and that's my background, really. And got into the rock gospel scene. That was back in the 70s when Larry Norman and all the Jesus people were starting to hit the rock scene. It was the new thing for Christianity to have the rockers show up. And so I was really entrenched in that. And we started a band and started singing locally and then going up and down the coast of Florida. And then in 1979, I moved to California, Los Angeles. I was real involved in martial arts. Since I was 19, I've been involved in martial arts on one level or another. And so I moved out there to kind of expand my wings, for the lack of a better word. And my brother lived out there also. So I went out there to be with him and lived in Los Angeles for probably about 10 years. And then I was a personal trainer with martial arts, self-defense, that area. And then I met my wife, and long story short, when we got married, we ended up in San Diego, living in San Diego. So really, I'm from California because I've been in California since 1979, and her whole family is from here. She's from Kansas City, from Raytown, Missouri, and so her dad was having compromised health, and it brought us back here. Once we got back here, we got into the ministry here in a church in Overland Park and started teaching there, just a Bible study, and one thing led to another. The church there was going to launch a satellite church in Lawrence. And we were asked, because we were in ministry school there, if we would pray about becoming the local pastor in Lawrence. And they were going to be with us for a year and kind of get everything situated, settled. And we prayed about it, we fasted about it, and really felt like the Lord was calling us to Lawrence for ministry, and we accepted that position. I believe it was in November of 2005, and January 1, 2006, we were going to go full-time in the ministry, and we were still part of that church. Well, 3 weeks into the new year, somewhere around there, it wasn't long into the new year, a very short time into the new year, we were told that they were going to go a different direction. They felt like they were going to just go in a different direction, and they literally reincorporated the church here and just handed it to us and just kind of went their way, we went our way. So really, we were kind of on our own, other than intellectual property. And what I mean by that is we could ask questions about ministry and what have you, but from a financial standpoint, we were released. And so we were kind of on our own. But in retrospect, as I look back on that time, which was kind of nerve-wracking at the time it happened, yeah, to say the least, but when I look back on it, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to us, because really, when we accepted the position, we said right then and there, this is going to be God's ministry. It's not about us. And that forced me immediately to depend totally on Him. Mm-hmm. I knew that we had no other help. We felt like we were kind of on an island, and if it was going to succeed, it was going to be because of the Lord. And so he has sustained us for 5 years. We're still here.
Yeah.
And it's a growing, thriving church that's been in so many different locations. In our 5 years, we've probably, well, we've been in 9 different addresses, but within those 9 locations, we've gone back and forth to those locations probably 30 to 40 times.
Right.
So it's been quite a journey with people trying to track down where we were.
I bet.
So we were blessed to find this place a couple years ago, and we've been in here, and it's great to have an address and to be able to really say, hey, join us this Sunday. Here's where we'll be. So that's really how we got to where we are today.
Great. So then going back a little bit, when you were first at that church in Missouri, do you know what made Lawrence become kind of a spot that they wanted to start this church plan, or what the motivations were?
I just know, and it was, by the way, it was Overland Park, Kansas.
Overland Park, yeah. Sorry about that.
It was, at the time, he just felt like he was going to have several satellites going. I believe the initial plan was to have 7, of which Lawrence was going to be the first of the 7.
Okay.
So he was going to have them all in the metro area, Kansas City, spread out throughout the area. And this was just going to be the initial one that they were going to launch. After it was launched, none of the others, I don't think, came to fruition at all.
Uh-huh.
Only this one.
Okay. And then, so then after that started getting planted and you started getting it going, then you said that they kind of severed the ties, and so it wasn't so much the satellite plant anymore, but now it is your own thing.
Sure.
And it was just a matter of going different directions.
Yeah.
And different. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And no hard feelings, nothing. I actually, you know, after the blow of it, I really treated it as a true blessing. So
uh-huh.
It wasn't like, you know, can't believe this is happening, or they did that. It wasn't any of that. It was, I can't believe this is happening, but how is God going to use this as a vehicle
mm-hmm.
to answer this call that he's called us to?
Can I ask what were some of the things that caused the split, even if it was still on amiable terms?
You know what? I don't know. To tell you the truth,
uh-huh.
I honestly do not know, other than the fact the reason that I was given was that they just felt like they were being led into a different direction.
No worries. Okay, so then once you're here and getting things going, how did you really start getting people a part of this congregation? How did you pull people from Lawrence into this?
Well, it was really just a lot of just getting out in the streets and talking to people. And we had a few people that, when it was first launched, I guess it was advertised, and so when we first came, they kind of knew that this new church was in town, but really, in comparison, we are really different. I mean, our whole way of ministry is completely different. I look at it from a different standpoint. I think it has to do with my background. Just a different approach. I think instead of spending a lot of money to go advertise, we didn't have it. So we just had to use just getting out in the streets and talking to people and having other people that would come to the church, invite other people. So it's just kind of been a duplication factor of people either getting excited about what God is doing here or not. And if they do get excited, then they go share it with other people. And it's really become, I look at the church name, Family Church of Lawrence,
mm-hmm.
and that is really the essence of who we are. I mean, it is truly a family here. And our prayer, Vicki, my wife and I, when we were first praying about the ministry, our prayer was praying for diversity. And that is not only through just the color of someone's skin diversity, but from all walks of life diversity. And he has answered that, I mean, completely. We have a true mix of people that are just excited about learning and growing in the Lord. And we've got professional people. We have non-professional people. We have students, a lot of kids, but also a lot of backgrounds religiously. I never wanted a denomination to get in the way of somebody receiving the message of Jesus.
great. So then kind of going off more of this idea of having a different style in ministry, how else would you describe Family Church here? So you have a lot of diversity and a lot of different backgrounds, but what else differentiates Family Church?
Well, here's really our mission statement, and that is real people with real issues, finding truth and sharing truth. Because we realize that when we walk out of these church doors, people are hurting. People are hurting when they're in the church doors. There's just, people are searching for something to fulfill life with. And our discovery with talking to people and people coming in within our doors is that they've tried a lot of different things to find that resolve, to find that peace, to find that inner strength. Across the board, trying all kinds of things, and the real truth through the truth of Jesus Christ is where that unity comes in this body of believers. And really, that's the message. I mean, we're just trying to share Jesus with people. We don't jump in anybody's faith or face, for that matter. We jump into the Word and say, lovingly, here's what Christ says about life. You know, he came that you can have life in it abundantly. So does that mean we're never going to have a problem again or suffer again? No, but there's an intercessor there that can help us through those challenges and get us through the challenges or over the mountain. And it's great and comforting for people to know that they don't have to go through it alone, or through earthly strength they can be empowered by a supernatural strength through Jesus.
Cool. So continuing off of that, say I show up on Sunday and I'm ready to join a service. What am I going to expect when I walk in?
Well, you're going to see a lot of smiling faces. You're going to be very warmly welcomed. It's very casual here. We don't really dress up. There's a few people that'll come in with ties. I wear ties and suits occasionally, but sometimes I won't wear jeans, but I'll wear shorts like this. And just, you know, we're here for one purpose, and that's to worship and to grow in the Lord. So when somebody walks in off the street, which many have, they'll just pass by, see the sign, and pull in out of curiosity, and they will be warmly welcomed. And they'll come in and they'll see an enthusiastic group of people that just want to love God, you know, and just show our love to him. So the praise is, the music's portion of the service is very contemporary. It's got a flavor for, we do have older folks, and once in a while we'll do hymns, you know, but it's for the most part, it's going to be a contemporary service.
And what are the teaching portions like, or the sermons?
Well, at 9:45 we have Bible studies, and my wife teaches the adult Bible study, which is, if I can plug her, she's great, and loves to teach. She's very passionate about teaching. And we have great, committed teachers for the kids that just feed into the kids. They're awesome. And from my standpoint, I just tell people, I'm not going to get up and tell you a bunch of theory. I'm not going to, you know, I'll tell you stories and funny stories and funny things that's happened to me or others. And it just, you know, I'm just going to be real with people. But the essence of it is they're not going to hear theory. They're just going to hear what's in the Word. We believe in the entire Bible. We teach the entire Bible, and we don't try to compromise the Word. We just try to stay true to the Word.
Great. So then what else beyond the Sunday worship and the Sunday Bible studies goes on in the church? What's outside of that?
Well, we try to get outside the walls, and we have a lot of home groups that are now starting to emerge. We didn't have that in the beginning, but our goal this year really is to expand on those and just have home groups that people can take different types of subject matters that they're going through and know that they're not alone, or that they're not growing alone in a certain area. And what one example of that would be a new believer, somebody that walks in and they receive Christ. What next? What do they do next? You know, we don't want to throw them to the wolves. What we want to do is to get them in an environment that is a loving environment that will really start to get them off the milk and into the meat of the Word so that they can grow and be nourished and accomplish what God has designed for them to accomplish in life. We believe that everybody has a preordained destiny that God has stamped on all of us if we will heed to Him. And so that's what we just try to do, is to create an environment, whether it's in here in the building or outside, to where we can help them grow to be all that they were called to be.
Good deal. And let's see. So in terms of getting people growing, what roles does fellowship play into this, and what roles does
a lot.
How does fellowship take place?
I wouldn't say that this is a, what would you call, a social club by any means,
right.
But we're very social, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Again, I think it goes back to that family environment. We have a lot of parties where the whole church family is invited, and that range is extravagant. It's everything from a hayride theme of a country theme where we all dress up like cowboys and cowgirls and go, you know, do the marshmallows on the fire and the singing around the campfire, to hayrides for the kids and just a fun environment of fun and games on a farm. Or to another extreme would be a Valentine's dinner that we turn this place into a beautiful restaurant environment with low lights and just very romantic for the couples to come and be together and just unite together in an environment that just supports one another. So the spectrum is wide on the kind of events that we have from an entertainment standpoint. Mm-hmm. But really the essence of it is, I've heard so many times that Christianity is boring, or people will go, that say that you meet on the street and say, just Christians, they're this, that, and the other. Well, the most joyful people on earth should be Christians because of what they have within them. And so we just try to exude that joy and share that joy with others. So that's kind of what we did.
Cool. And then kind of bouncing back a little bit, as you're going through these phases of kind of bouncing around between different locations and then got here, like what were some of the big challenges with that? I know you were saying it was kind of hard being able to communicate where you were going to be at times. What were some of the frustrations that came?
Frustrating, but also looking back on greatest of memories. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
One of our places that we went was the Holodome, the Holiday Inn. And we would go back and forth, but back then, I don't know how it is now, but back then, you had a lot of conventions coming that were pre-scheduled, so annually you had all these places. Well, one Sunday we showed up, and we had to bring all of our sound equipment. Everything was basically up here. Not everything was there then, but we had, you know, sound equipment and keyboards and all the stuff that we had to load and bring in and set up every Sunday. And so we showed up one morning, and we would rent two of the conference rooms, and then we would rent another conference room for the kids and some of the classrooms, mm-hmm. And so we were just kind of spread out. But when we showed up this one particular Sunday morning, we walked in the rooms, and they were already set up for another meeting, so they had double booked it. And so we're thinking, what do we do? Everybody's going to be here in 45 minutes. People are going to show up. And back then, we didn't have a huge amount of people because, again, nobody knew where we were from.
Yeah.
And you'll see why when I tell you the story. So I went to the front desk and said, here's the situation. And they're going, oh, my goodness. Well, wow, we don't know what to do. And I said, well, what can we do? I mean, what are the options? And they said, well, we have a suite that we could open up and let you have your service there. And so we literally went into this room that had a table like this and chairs. So it was a little larger than a room. But we were like sardines. I mean, it was amazing.
No kidding.
One of those folding things like that, stand, music stands, I put my Bible on there. And that was the podium. That's what we used as the podium. It was right by the bar that was in the room, you know, the little bar that they have. I just stuck it right beside there. And we had people, the back door was open. So it walked out, I guess it was the front door, but it went out by the pool. And people were standing out on the railings by the pool, overlooking the pool. And we were just jammed in there. But it was a great day. It was just a great day. I mean, it was just packed. But we look back on that and say how faithful God was in getting us through these different situations that were just crazy at the time. Frustrating, definitely frustrating. But looking back, it was a bond that can't be repeated. I mean, it was
Seriously.
Just a bond that took those people and all of us that were there at that time. We just look back on those times, and it was great. It was great. So there's a few stories like that.
Yeah, no, that's a good
around.
One.
You know, crazy stuff. Hello.
You all recording?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay.
What you need?
I can't find the TV for the kids, that other flat
screen. It's in that closet on the right.
Okay, we'll go back.
Okay.
So then now that you do have a more stable location, what has that freed you up to do?
Well, get our address out there for one thing. Mm-hmm. That has helped a lot. It's still a little challenging because the building is for sale where we are, and we're attempting to buy that. So we're in the process of really trying to make a location our own so that we can just have our place. So that'll be in, you know, God's timing, and we'll just do what we do until he opens those doors. But it's allowed us to be able to do events during the week so that we don't have to scatter ourselves so much. And that people just know where to be on Sunday. It was just a major challenge trying to keep up, especially with guests, with new people. I think with new people coming in and they see kind of a renegade moving van kind of church, it's like, well, do I really want to be part of that? I'm kind of looking for a home. Are they really going to be around in 6 months, or are they just passing through kind of thing? So now people know we're here. We're established. We've been here 5 years, and I think it gives them a lot more comfort in knowing that if they come, we're here. Or they can build their lives into the fabric of who we are as a church instead of saying, I'm going to pour myself into this place and then it's not here in 4 weeks. So I think it's a calming effect for people.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
For some of the events that you do have doing on during the weeks, or home groups and Bible studies, how is leadership assigned in this area? Is it just volunteers, or is it a specific role? Are there elders? How does leadership break down?
No, it is volunteers, and that's been one of the things. And quite frankly, we've had people with mixed feelings about that, saying, well, you should have, in the beginning, we didn't have a lot of mature Christians. I mean, we were brand new, so we didn't have a lot of leadership. So I didn't want to just put people in positions to have them in positions. I wanted to do it biblically, so we just took our time until we started to get mature Christians that we're able to be in positions biblically, and God has blessed us in that. So the people that we have in positions now, we feel are mature Christians, and they're just not filling a slot to have the slot filled. It's not to say that that people can't come into our church environment and be part of it from a volunteer standpoint, mm-hmm. we have phenomenal participation in our volunteers. I'll give you an example. We were blessed to be able to have our first VBS, a Vacation Bible School for Kids, this past year. And we had 65 kids coming through the church and that program.
Yeah.
And it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. We reached out to the community. Kids that didn't come to the church were involved too. It was great. It was great. But to pull that off, you need quite a bit of people to do it, adults. And we had, I don't know the exact number, but I would say it's probably 35 to 40 adults that were part of that,
wow.
that just poured themselves into it. And some of them were very new Christians, but we wanted them to be part of it so that they felt like they were part of the church and part of the ministry. From the very beginning, I never wanted this to be a one-man show or a two-person show with my wife. I wanted it to be a family. And even though I'm a singer and I love to sing, in the beginning I had to sing a lot because we didn't have the people. But now I still love to sing, but I tell our worship leader, I'll sing once, every 6 or 7 or 8 weeks, but I don't want to do it a lot. I want other people to use their giftings, and because it's about all of us. It's not about just one person being here. I believe that we were all called to be part of this ministry. I just happen to be the under-shepherd to the shepherd, the Lord. So I just try to stay humbly before Him as an under-shepherd, but to make sure that He is the shepherd and that we're all in this together.
Sweet. So then I was just going back and looking at this mission state that you were telling me, the real people, real issues, finding truth and sharing truth. And looking at that, when you do have these other groups set up and you have them being led, are there any themes that are consistent through them, or do they take kind of a thematic issue? Is there a small group that'll be specifically addressed to overcoming a certain issue, or...
Yeah, we definitely, the running theme is that mission statement. Everything mm-hmm. really underlying that's the running theme of every ministry that we have throughout the church. But yes, if in fact in the new year we'll probably see different types of ministries that are going into specifics. Let's say someone has struggled with drugs or mm-hmm. whatever that case may be. To have a support group for them with someone that has gone through it successfully, been clean for many, many years, to be able to be a leader for that group is a very strengthening thing if they can do that biblically and show people how to get out of that situation and that bondage through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that every class is going to be like a Stepford child, but every class is real people with real issues.
Yeah.
And the truth, everything is going to run back to the theme of where do we find the solution for this? And every ministry within our ministry is going to go back to the source, the main source, which is the Word, to say, here's the solution. So we're not trying to be a psychologist in that room. We're trying to just guide people into the Word to say, what's the Bible say about this? Let's see if we can find the solution here, which we always can. So they're all different kind of functioning events, but they all really do have that running theme.
Sweet. Let's see. Tell me a little bit more about where you see this church going. I know you were saying that you're looking into being able to purchase this building. So say that happens, what kind of ideas do you have percolating, or visions do you see ahead?
Well, I have huge visions for the ministry. But again, I'm just trying to be humble before the Lord with it. And because somebody would look at where we are today and say, how can you have that large of a vision down the road with where you are today. But if we look back where we were 5 years ago, we've come a long way. So my vision is to really have a campus that gives kids and people a place to go that is a safe environment to be fed biblically in every way. And what I mean by that, there's a lot of kids in this town that they go home to an empty house. Mom and dad's working. Unfortunately, they have to. There's a lot of kids like that, that they don't have a place to go. But they go home and they get in trouble because they're on their own. They don't have a lot of support. It's not their fault. It's not their parents' fault. It's just the way life is. So if we could create an environment for them to come that is safe and to be able to come and have a great time in the afternoon and play games and have an environment that's fun, but yet it be in line with God's Word. And they're getting that, whether we're not going to try to force the Bible onto a kid that comes in off the street. We want to love them and let them be in a safe environment and let them find Christ as he draws that kid to him in that perfect godly timing. But if we can just create an environment for him to be safe and enjoy his life and have an opportunity to just have fun as a kid, that's what I see. And that is really not only in a game environment for them to come in and play games, but that is throughout every age, to be able to have older people to be able to come together, and elderly people. I mean, how wise are the elderly? And so many times they're just kind of left out there on their own. But to have an environment that they could come together and be infused with younger people, have really young kids coming in and interacting with them in an environment that can cause the younger kids to get and glean the wisdom of the older, but to have the vibrancy of the youth infused in the life of the elder, those kind of things. And I don't know when and how that'll happen, but that's the vision, to have that kind of environment.
Awesome. And then always shifting gears again. In terms of where you're at right now, how are simple things like maintenance of this building taken care of? Do you have volunteers come in and do that? Or?
Great question. And it goes back just to the love of the people. We have volunteers that come in. We have, in fact, you may see her any minute. She'll show up here. Uh-huh. Jane comes in every Saturday afternoon and cleans and does set up, and just faithful people that do it. We have a guy that, again, is a volunteer. He's kind of the head over the maintenance of the building, and he kind of goes through and checks, make sure all the light bulbs are working and the doorknobs are, you know, everything's functioning as a building entity. And then so all the building maintenance kind of runs through him. Mm-hmm. And then he has some volunteers under him that do different aspects of that. We have been blessed with people with a lot of different skill sets that use those skill sets for the kingdom, which is awesome.
Cool. Well, I was just glancing at the clock, and we're wrapping up in around an hour, so I don't want to take your whole afternoon from you, but I would love to hear some more just stories that you've remembered. You were telling me that one about being shoved into that suite. That's an awesome memory. Are there any other remarkable stories of either tough times or great victories? Or?
Hey, Benny. Come here a sec.
Oh, yeah.
She was asking about funny stories or tough times or things like that that the church has overcome. I told her the time that we were double booked at the Holodome and were crammed in that room.
We were there that morning.
that was a fun time. Does anything pop off the top of your head of just a thing that you go, wow, looking back, of that nucleus of people? Those are just memories that will never forget, but at the time we're going, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening. Along with that, I want you to hear how our opening night, or our opening morning here was with the rainbow, but the other first, if you can think of anything, just off the top of your head. Or you too, Will, either one.
That involved the whole church?
Oh, anything. Just tell me some stories. That should be on the record. If it involves the whole church, great. If it involves just you, that's fine too.
Wow, I'm trying to think, because it seems like there's so many when we talk on all the time. That's all. Like, did you write that down? Did you write that down?
I will say, oh, remember when? I do remember that one Sunday you're talking about.
I'll give you another one. This was hilarious. We were at the virtual school. Do you know where the virtual school is?
I don't.
It's over on, it's behind the high school, Lawrence High, I think. I think that's the street it's on. But it's, anyway, they have a great big open area where you can go. And I had booked it, and we got there, and the air conditioner went out, and it was right in the middle of the summer. Remember that? And it was just miserable. And that particular day, I started with a suit on, ended with like a t-shirt on.
Okay.
It was just amazing. But it was burning up in there. But again, it was one of those days where you look back on it, and it was just exciting. It was just because everybody was there not to be comfortable. They were there because they loved the Lord. And it just was one of those great days where we're all sweating like crazy, but laughing through it all, you know, just saying, wow, this, you know, it's one of those times. Tell her about the rainbow.
Don't let me make you nervous here. I'm just afraid it won't pick up.
Well, actually, the whole event was, it was incredible, and there was an element of it that was pretty funny on that following Sunday. But we were getting ready. We had been in here several months, but we were waiting to do, until the students came back, we were waiting to do our grand opening. And it was publicized in the Lawrence Journal World and so on and so forth. So everybody had come in and was working really hard all week, and the sanctuary had been painted. That's when we had done the painting and building this altar and all kinds of things. And it's Saturday night at 7:30, and one of the girls took her two kids and said, I'm going to go home and I'll see y'all tomorrow. Okay. So she heads out, and the next thing we know, she comes flying back in. She says, y'all got to come out here. You got to come out here. I said, well, what's that? And she says, just come out here. So everybody leaves what they're doing, and they go running out. And we look up, and we go down to First Serve's parking lot to get a view of it. And there is a double rainbow that literally looks like it is over our church. And because it was double, there was a like reddish glow that came from inside of it down. And I'm telling you, it was just like the Lord was saying, this is mine. This is mine, and I am protecting it. And the kids are dancing, and they're running around, and they're doing all this stuff, and there's tears running down their eyes, and there's tears running down our eyes, and everybody's got their cell phones, and they're they're trying to capture it.
Oh, seriously, yeah.
Yeah. And so we had that on camera, but at that point in time, some of the cell phones would only do like, what, 10 seconds at a time, so it was hard to get the whole thing. Anyway, the next day, here comes a woman. And they had read in the Lawrence Journal World. Had you shared this part?
Mm-mm.
No.
So Ron gets a phone call. Now, we're normally here. My class starts at 9:45. We're here normally by 9 or shortly after. And he gets a call at 8:15. And somebody says, we've got a woman that's here from Topeka. And she wants to film today's service. Is that okay? Well, somehow in my mind through all of this, I thought it was somebody like, I don't want to say K-Love, but I thought it was a Christian station or a Christian radio program or something.
So when I see this NBC local thing on the side of it, I'm still not really thinking much. It just didn't register. Mm-hmm. So we come in early. She says, listen, I just want to interview people. I want to interview the two of you all. Do you mind if I follow you around? And I'm going to film the various services. And I want to put together a piece. Yeah, sure. Well, as it turns out, they had heard before about when the original planting had come. And the guy who had originally planted, that senior pastor who had planted the church here, had made some statements about what he was going to do in a very short period of time in this community. And Lawrence Journal World, I think, had a couple of issues with a couple of things that he had said in his approach. And so they were following up. They were wanting to follow up. And so when that whole article got printed, they made reference back to the very beginnings. So here comes the TV station. We're not understanding any of this.
Yeah.
We're just, it's just naive, right? She goes to interview us. And she asked us a couple things. She says, well, she says, so tell me about the church, blah, blah, and I start to say it. I start interviewing her because I think she's just, you know. So I said, well, now, what do you notice different? Again, thinking she's with the Christian station. What do you notice that stands out to you different from with our church? Because I'm sure you've done this before. So I'm going through this whole interview process with her, right? And she's got me rolling on camera. And she said, well, you know, you mentioned diversity. You prayed for diversity. That's one of the first things I noticed. And she said, and that rainbow. And she literally filmed from our service the rainbow as it appeared on our screen. So here, after the whole thing's over, it dawns on me. And I said, you're not with a Christian channel? She says, no, I'm with local Topeka, NBC. It's like, okay. And immediately my mind starts, you know. What did I say? How's this working? I wasn't nervous. Should I be nervous right now? Let's go. You know, a whole thing, because I'm thinking, I don't know what an investigative reporter now is doing, you know. And because that's rare. I mean, there's very large churches here, and they have new buildings, and they have new things happen, and no one shows up from Topeka. Anyway, so she says, go check the thing at 10 o'clock that night, at 5 o'clock Sunday night, 10 o'clock Sunday night, 6 o'clock the next morning. And it ran clear around through noon the next day. There was about a, I don't know, 3 or 4 minute piece, something like that. Mm-hmm. And they showed the rainbow on the news.
Yeah, it was so cool.
They showed everything, and the piece was very, very productive. She did a great job with it.
Oh, good.
It was just, the whole thing was just really strange, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was terrific.
You know. So
if we just feel that God has sealed the ministry, you know, again, like I told you from the beginning, it's His. We're just trying to be obedient. But, because I know we're running out of time, but I do have one story to really share with you why we're here. This will give you one example of the many, maybe not as dramatic as this particular one, but why we are here. We have a woman who is here that came, they actually moved from Texas, and she came into the church and because she moved to be with her son and daughter-in-law and their two kids and help, and she was leaving her husband, and so she came alone, and this was on a Sunday, and I'm in the back getting ready for the service to start, and there's a man that comes in, and I meet him there, I welcome him, and the service has already started. I just was back there, I saw him come in, so it's like I'm out there trying to answer his questions, and he just breaks down. I mean, he literally just breaks down crying, and he's telling me, I don't know why I'm here. And I didn't know he had anybody that's in the service connected to him. I was just totally out of the blue. I said, well, just come in and, you know, just be with us today. And long story short, after the service was over, he surrendered his life to the Lord, received the Lord, and come to find out when we heard his testimony later, he was in Texas the night before, sitting at his table with a gun loaded. And when she left, he was just going to end his life.
And he thought the last thing that I told her was that I was going to go to church. That's the thing that she said, go to church. I want you to go to church. And he said, so instead of going to church there, I thought, I'm going to go to church where she is, and it'll be my last time to see her. I'll go to church, I'll meet my commitment there, and then I'll go back and end my life. Because he said, I couldn't do it. And he goes, I don't know what happened to me. I just kind of, before I knew it, I'd gone outside, I'd cleaned my truck out, I'd put things in the truck. I was down the road, and the next thing I knew, I was in Lawrence. And I look at them together. Their marriage has healed. God is doing amazing things in their life and in their marriage. And I look and I just say, you know, if it was just for that, thank you, Lord, that you were able to have a place here that drew him in. But that's just one of many stories, and maybe not as dramatic as somebody getting ready to end their life. But let's face it, the end of life is going to come sooner or later. And there's a fork in the road that we have to choose sooner or later. And is it going to be, there's a real hell and there's a real heaven. So we're just trying to be here to share with people the love of Christ, and that they can take those problems that they're having now, yeah, resolve them here, but not worry about this blink that we live as a lifetime, but to take care of eternal security once we leave this earth. So that's really the essence of why we're here. And that's one example of, I believe, many that will be drawn to the Lord through this ministry. At least we pray that.
Right.
Anything you want to add to?
Yeah.
Anything?
Well, I don't know, really know what all y'all real people fellowship.
We talked about it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll end it there. No, I turned it off and realized it was on pause, but if you're telling the story, shoot, get it recorded.
Yeah, it's funny, because there was another church that was next door to us, and the walls were so thin that you could hear, and it was timed to where we were supposed to be there at a different time so that we wouldn't conflict with one another. But it didn't work out that way. Somehow we ended there at the same time and doing the same thing at the same time. But their singing was going on while I was trying to preach. So it was like this loud music coming in while I was trying to talk. And so the louder the music got, the more I was trying to outvoice it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like I'm almost screaming, can you hear me? I felt like one of those old-time preachers, you know.
Yeah,
it was just hilarious. And, you know, what can you do? And just everybody's just kind of with me, hanging in there going, it's okay, we'll get through
it. You got it.
Yeah. So anyway, just another event of the crazy journey that we're on. But it's fun.
Cool.
You ought to actually just, I don't know.